Remember last week Jesus gave the beautiful discourse on the rivers of living water, talking about the Holy Spirit that God gives us at salvation, all that the Spirit does for us, praise God. And because of that discourse, notice here in verse 40, the Bible says, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Had not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. And answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. So never man spake like this man. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to join together this evening around our Savior and around your word. And pray you'll use your word now in our lives and speak through the Holy Spirit to touch each one of us. And Lord, may you be glorified through this time. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you probably noticed that the people, because of Christ's beautiful explanation about salvation and the coming Holy Spirit and his offer of eternal life, which is the rivers of living waters, they're now beginning to make the connection. This is the common people, of course, with the Old Testament. Because these are all Jews that we're talking about. They're starting to see that Jesus Christ is, sure enough, the fulfillment of many of the Old Testament prophecies that they have been taught since they were children. And that's what they meant there in verse 40 when they said, of a truth, this is the prophet. They were immediately referring to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 18, where God gave a prophecy through Moses that there would arise a prophet like Moses, and the prophecy, of course, is of Jesus Christ being the great prophet. So notice Deuteronomy 18. Look at verse 15 of Deuteronomy 18. The Bible says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Look at verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him, all that I shall command him. So notice that way back in the time of Moses, God prophesied that there would arise a prophet. And the Jews have been waiting now for centuries. And many of them said, this must be him. Because never man spake like this man. This must be that prophet. And then so back in our passage, verse 41, others said, this is the Christ. That word Christ, of course, means Messiah. And so some said this must be the prophet that Moses spoke of or God spoke of through Moses. Others said this must be the Christ or the Messiah. And so let's go to Daniel 9 this time and see what the Jews were expecting from that point of view. Go to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25. And notice what it says. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, the Bible says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So God, this is how, by the way, Herod's prophets were able to estimate when the time of Christ's birth should be. Is they were able to go back and look in the history books and see when the decree was given to rebuild Jerusalem under Ezra and Nehemiah. And they were able to count forward 69 weeks of years. Sure enough, there it is. The time of the Messiah. And so notice God had written not only that the Messiah would come, but even when he would come, what year he would come. And that is how, again, Herod, the wise men were able to say to Herod, we think it's time. And so they're saying, some of the people are saying, well, this must be the prophet. This is the Old Testament prophet that was told about in Deuteronomy 18. Others said, well, this also must be the Christ, the Messiah, the one that was promised in the Old Testament to come and be God's spokesman. And if you go to John chapter 1, remember when God was, or Jesus was calling his disciples here in John chapter 1, he said a similar thing, that this disciple, down in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So this was Andrew, who then went and found his brother Simon Peter and said, we found the Messiah. We found the Old Testament Messiah, that we found the Christ. It's Jesus. So the crowd is beginning to put things together and say that this is that no man spake like this man. He must be the Old Testament prophet. He must be the Old Testament Messiah. But then they went further back in our passage, John 7, verse 42, and the Bible says, that hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? So they're all saying, well, we've all been studying the Old Testament scriptures, and we know that if he is the Messiah, if he is the chosen one, then he has to be of the seed of David. And of course, God made that very clear in 2 Samuel 7. Let's turn there. This is what we refer to as the Davidic covenant, one of the unconditional covenants that God gave to Israel, was that he would, that David's throne would last forever, and that Jesus Christ would sit on the throne of David. And therefore, he would also be a descendant of David in the flesh. Notice 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. So notice, the kingdom and the throne would be forever. And if you go to Isaiah 9, most of us know at least of verse 6. Some of us know it by heart. You would have heard it in Handel's Messiah. By the way, Isaiah 9, 6, great verse to take Jehovah's Witness to, because they don't believe the deity of Christ. But notice Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. So again, we find that the promised son, on whose shoulder would be the government, would come of the seed of David and sit on the throne of David. And so, and one more, Jeremiah 23. And so the people are now beginning to realize this man is unlike any other man. He's very special. We believe that from what we've heard, he's the Old Testament prophet from Moses' time. We believe from what we've heard that he must be the Christ. We believe from what we've heard that he must be of the seed of David. Jeremiah 23:5, look what it says. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. So the Jews knew what they were waiting for. They knew they were waiting for a Messiah. They knew that he had to be of the seed of David, which Jesus was. And then the last one back in our passage, John 7, verse 42, that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was, because the common belief was that Jesus came from Galilee, because he grew up in Galilee. But we all know he wasn't born there. We know where he had to be born to be the fulfillment of the Old Testament, right? And that, of course, is Micah chapter 5. So let's turn there. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The Jews would have known this verse, and therefore they would have known in advance not only when the Messiah would be born from the book of Daniel chapter 9, but they even could have known where Jesus would be born. Which is why, by the way, the wise men came to that region. But notice Micah 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem Ephratah. Never man spake like this man. This man is obviously the prophet. This man is obviously the Christ. This man is obviously the one that fulfills the Old Testament scriptures about the Messiah, that he would be a descendant of David. And the people are a little bit confused about where he came from, because they're thinking he came from Galilee. And we saw that was kind of like the Pharisees' big argument. Well, he came from Galilee, so he can't be the one. Well, no, he was born in Bethlehem. So moving on in our passage tonight, this is verse 45. Then came the officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? We're ready to arrest this man. Because he keeps telling us we have to repent, and he keeps claiming to be the Lord. And we can't accept that. So why didn't you arrest him? Why didn't you bring him? Verse 46, I love this answer. Never man spake like this man. Imagine what it would have been like to actually be there and hear Jesus speak in the flesh. Can't even imagine, can you? I can't. It's just amazing. Let's look at Luke 4 and just see that sure enough, Jesus Christ, because he was God, he would have had the most amazing mastery of the English language. The Greek language that he spoke. And that's why when you read the parables, they're so amazing. And he can pack so much into a little parable, can't he? Jesus never wasted his words. And they were always beautiful. Notice Luke 4:22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Isn't that beautiful? The gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Jesus didn't waste words. If he spoke, he was saying something. It reminds me of in the garden in John 18 when the soldiers came to arrest Christ. And they said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he spake three words, I am he. And the Bible says when he spake the words, I am he, the soldiers went backward and fell to the ground. Imagine that. Soldiers falling down just at the power of the words, I am he. And so these officers said, we couldn't arrest him. Never man spake like this man. No one's ever been able to speak this way. Well, that would obviously be true, because it's God. So the Pharisees, typical Pharisees, are you also deceived? Now, we don't want to hear these declarations about how great of a person he is. And every time he'd work a miracle, they'd get more angry, because more people would want to believe. And, of course, they weren't willing to accept that. Part of their argument was Galilee. Part of their argument was many other things. But this is what began to happen in Christ's ministry, is more and more the common people would believe, and the leaders refused to believe. Now, Nicodemus was an exception, of course. But for the most part, the Pharisees and scribes refused to believe in Jesus. The common people. But things haven't changed, have they? You know, what countries are more likely to open up to Jesus Christ, to missionaries, and what countries are less likely to open up to Jesus Christ, to missionaries. You study it out. And it's the countries that are more poor, with more common people, where the people just say, yes, that Jesus is the one. Look what happened in the Philippines in the 50s and 60s and the 40s. It just, the gospel worked. And it just went all across the country, and church, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches were established. And you know what? The Philippines are sending missionaries to America. Think about that. But then look at a country like ours. Most people don't want to hear. And that's, things haven't changed. And so if you go to Matthew 11:25, sure enough, Jesus explained it, that it's the common people that are more likely. And is that because they're more ignorant? No. It's because they're willing to listen. Well, a person who believes he has all the wisdom isn't as willing to listen, is he? Now, Matthew 11:25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Later on, Jesus even said, except you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you shall not enter therein. What does he mean? That we need to be simple-minded? No. But we need to have simple faith, childlike faith, and believe that God's word is true. And so if you go to John 9, and we'll see another example of this. John 9 and verse 39, where we'll be in a couple weeks. John 9:39, Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. How sad. Because you believe you have all the answers, your sin remains. If you would have admitted that you don't have the answers and you need my help, then I can help you. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You got to be willing to admit you're lost to get saved. So notice verse 49 of our passage. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. This isn't Jesus speaking. This is the Pharisees speaking. These religious leaders, these Nicolaitans, who basically are teaching that, listen, we have a handle on the truth. We'll tell the people what to believe because they're all ignorant. Sound familiar? It's a church with over 1 billion people that does the same thing and tells people, you don't need to read your Bible. We'll tell you what to believe. We'll interpret it for you. We'll tell you what you need to do to get to heaven. And here these Pharisees have the same attitude. They don't know the law as well as we do, so they're cursed. How sad. And so what's our mission? Tell them about the Jesus of the Bible. Amen? It's not that you will be cursed if you know the law. It's you'll be cursed if you don't accept Christ as the one, as the Messiah, as the seed of David, as the one born in Bethlehem, as the prophet, as the people said, he's the one. And Jesus said it himself, didn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. I'm not one of the ways, I am the way. And I am the truth, and I am the life. And then look at John chapter 20, where John explains why God led him to write his gospel. Verse 31. It's all about believing. These are written, John 20:31, that ye might believe. John says, why did God lead me to write this book? Not just to impart information, but that you might believe on, or that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So it's not just to impart information, it's to give life through the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who will believe. And so We're going to see more of this as we get into some of the parables. But never man spake like this man. And who said that? One of the officers of the religious leaders. He said, we know you sent us there to arrest Jesus, but we couldn't. Because never man spake like this man. And then the people said, this must be the one. This must be the Christ. This must be the prophet. And the officer said, we couldn't arrest him because his words were so amazing. And of course, typical response from the Pharisees, well, you're deceived as well. And these people, these common people, they're cursed. When actually the Pharisees were just blind leaders of the blind. It always comes down to the person of Christ. As we'll see as we walk through John. So what a beautiful, beautiful saying. Never man spake like this man. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and